Golda, are you there?
Marty.
Ah,
Marty.
Golda. It's been...
Can you hear me?
I feel like I've been trying to talk to you for about 4 years.
Oh, my God, this is so embarrassing.
Oh, don't talk to me about embarrassing. It's so good to have you on the line. Good morning. How are you today?
I'm fine, except, like, my heart just stopped 15 times in the last 3 minutes, but otherwise I'm fine.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. Listen, first, welcome to Ireland, Golda. Great moment for us to have you in the country, so we're delighted to have you. So lovely.
I'm super excited.
Bet you are. Now, you're at the National Concert Hall on Sunday, and it's a programme of all women composers, which is interesting.
Yes, we're just doing all the things that ladies have to say.
Now, tell me why that was. Tell me why that was, because it's very, very, very personal to you, isn't it?
It is a little bit personal. I think what happened was is my friend Jonathan Ware, who's my pianist, we were busy working on Gretchen Anspinrade from Robert Schumann, which is totally false. It's Franz Schubert. And I was just really fascinated with the idea that he'd written this song about a young girl's experience of first love, and it was so well written, and I really got what she was going through. But then there was a question that just popped up in my head that said, but what would it have been like if a woman had written the song and if a woman had written the poem? Like, would there be different things that she would have touched on? And so we went researching and looking for stuff, and we actually didn't find any other person having written this song, any woman having written the song, but we found so many other women's music that we just thought was so interesting and so exciting. And just the musical commentary that female composers have about poets, and that just started us down this wonderful Alice in Wonderland hole in the ground, and we have yet to come up for air because there's just so much good music.
So it's Clara Schumann, it's Emily Mayer, Rebecca Clark, Nadia Boulanger, and Kathleen Tagg. That's all your composers.
That's all our ladies. And so the Kathleen Tagg is a new commission that we asked
new work,
Kathleen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Kathleen, we asked her if she'd be willing to write a piece for us, and she was super excited because she's also a pianist, and she's a really great pianist, and she does these very interesting things with piano. So I think when an audience hears these pieces for the first time, especially when they see it performed, they're fascinated because Jonathan's head is basically in the piano a lot more than he's looking at music. It's a really fun piece because it's filled with extended techniques. But then on top of that, there's really great poetry in that group of songs by my friend Lila Palmer, who's a poetess and a librettist. And she wrote some really beautiful, thought-provoking poetry about what it is to be a 21st century woman.
Excellent.
And the things that pull you in various directions as a woman as you try to balance being yourself and being everything you possibly can be to the people you care about.
But
and
Golda,
how do you find that balance?
This must be a great thrill for you to be putting on a show like this.
Oh, it really is. It feels like I'm just always in brilliant conversation with these composers, number one. But then what's also brilliant is that you find yourself in a conversation with the audience by the end of the evening, because at the end of the evening, so many people come backstage to us or see us after the show, and they're so excited and they're so just wonderfully thrilled by the experience.
Yes.
It's been really, really gratifying just hearing people say things like, oh, I didn't know who Emily Mayer was, but now that I do, I'm so excited about her music. And, you know, things to know about someone like Emily Mayer. Yeah. She had the same sort of famous, she was about at the same level of famousness. Is that the word? Is that a word, famousness?
Famous. Well, you've invented it. I'm prepared to accept it as a word,
I'm taking it. Famous.
Yeah, good for you, Golda.
And so she was at the same level of celebrity as Ludwig von Beethoven. And when she died, however, you know, she just disappeared into obscurity and all her music just kind of disappeared. And the only way that you would have had access to her music until the last couple of years is that you'd have to go to the archives, the music archives and the historical archives in Berlin, and you'd have to look at her handwritten manuscripts. And the only way that I found out about her is a friend of mine was doing a doctoral thesis on, you know, obscure women lost through time and music.
Yes.
And she had found these manuscripts, and she took the time, the hours, to transcribe them onto, you know.
And found all the information and the music. But the point is, Goda, that in so many walks of life, right throughout the decades, women were kind of airbrushed out, and they didn't get the recognition in so many areas.
Absolutely, and I think that's what's really fun, what's really amazing for people is that, you know, this seemingly innocuous thing of just singing a couple of songs by, you know, some really good composers is actually starting a really deep conversation for people about the position of women in society and how we tend to take for granted the things women do to make sure that societies run. And it's very, very gratifying that people are talking about this.
Yes, exactly.
You know, someone asked me one day, they were like, so does this mean that you're a feminist? And I just said, well, of course it does. And I think everyone should be a feminist.
I'm a bit of a feminist myself, in fairness. So,
exactly. And I think that, you know, it's so important. Of course that I'm a feminist, and I want women's stories to exist in the world and thrive. And if this is a way that I can get more female, and that's also been exciting, more female composers have approached us and like have been sending us their music and saying,
so you can extend it then.
It's like such a lovely, brilliant, long conversation, and it's not just a conversation that to carry on. It's a conversation of myself as a performer, having a musical discourse with Clara Schumann, a musical discourse and conversation with Nadia Boulanger, and then how these different composers, how their music also speaks to each other, and it's beautiful and it's just exciting. And
I have to ask you. I have to ask you a question. You're full of life and full of beans, Golda, and I'm astonished to read that I don't know if you still have it. At one stage, had incredible stage fright.
Oh, it was the worst. It was the pits.
But you fainted and stuff. Like, you fainted and stuff.
Oh, yeah. People like to think that I'm kidding when I say that, but I really did faint. I would fall over like a frightened goat. At the drop of a hat. But it was the most ridiculous way to faint, because you'd think that I would faint before actually having to do the singing thing.
Yes.
But no, somehow my instincts were strong enough that I would do the performance, and then instead of a bow, I would faint. I never bowed.
So you fainted with relief, in a way.
Exactly.
That's
the adrenaline just left my body, and it's like, okay, we're done. Bye.
Oh, not much of a moment for bowing then, because you didn't go back.
Not at all. I think I don't even think I remember actually ever having heard applause until about 6 months later, after having, I had this wonderful music lecturer who then decided to. I don't know if it was cruelty or if it was just him thinking to himself, you know, I can help this kid. And he just decided that I would have to perform every week in front of my classmates and I'd have to sing. And he said, I don't care if you sing the same song 1,000 times. So if we're going to hear Wojciech Saperty for the next 3 months, that's what we're going to hear.
But
we're going to perform every time.
Yeah.
And it didn't really work brilliantly at the beginning, because I fainted a lot to the point that I would have to sing with people standing next to me to just like figure out which way I was going to fall.
That's right. Or a bed of cushions on the floor, just in case gold is going
they
over
just
now.
Lay you down. Lay me down, and everyone would go on with the rest of their day.
Listen, I wish you were here in front of me. I'd love to talk to you for another half hour. You sound like great fun. It's going to be a wonderful concert on Sunday at the National Concert Hall. And I wish you the very best. Please, God, it sounds wonderful.
So
listen, thank you for coming over to us, because you're quite the treat. And thank you, and congratulations with all your work. And people should go and see. One of the things I loved, again, when I was reading up on you, I loved your story about Seamus Heaney. At Rhodes University.
He was a beaut.
It was a. Can you just give me a taste of it? It's a great story.
It is an amazing experience. So I studied English literature at Rhodes University down in South Africa, and one day they said, "Well, this wonderful poet is coming all the way from Ireland. Wonderful Seamus Heaney, and we've been studying his poetry, and there he was in all his glory. Came and read." And recited his poetry to us in class, which was such a luxury for us. And we were allowed to ask him questions. And I think one of the questions that someone asked was, you know, well, how do you feel, and what are you trying to evoke? Images, what images are you trying to evoke when you're reciting your poetry to an audience? And he just looked at us and said, It doesn't matter what I'm trying to evoke. What matters is what you feel as an audience.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's the conversation of poetry. That's the conversation of art. It becomes no longer about what the intention of the artist was. Intention becomes completely secondary to what the experience of the audience is.
Yes,
because
what
you take away
is what you then sow
as the seed for your own creativity.
Yeah.
And you sow as the seed for your own change in your own life.
That
then becomes the meaning of the art. And I just thought that was just like the biggest
But you certainly took it on board.
What the purpose of art is.
Yeah,
I tried to.
Yeah. No, you do. You do. He was a wonderful man. He really was. Golda, it's been a joy. And good luck on Sunday at the National Concert Hall. And thank you for joining us. And next time, come sit with us in the studio. We make tea and chat.
I will. As long as it's good Irish breakfast tea, I'm there.
Oh, yes. Oh, we have Irish breakfast tea. We drink nothing else.
And will there be a packet of Tatoes?
Yes, Tato. That was my mother's favourite thing. Hot tea and a packet of Tato.
You've got me.
Oh, I've got you now. I know how to get Golda Schultz into the studio. God bless you. Take care. Lovely to talk to you this morning. Take care.
Bye.
You too. That's Golda Schultz, who is an absolute delight. She is also an incredible operatic soprano. So now, just to remind you, it's the NCH. It's this Sunday, and she'll be with Jonathan Ware. And it's Clara Schumann, it's Emily Mayer, Rebecca Clark, Nadia Boulanger, and Kathleen Tighe. It'll be terrific. Now, down by the Sally Gardens, this happens to be Golda.
Down by the Sally Gardens, my love and I did meet. She passed the Sally Gardens with little snow white feet. She bid me take love.
Schultz down by the Sally Gardens. A lovely.